You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow a side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews. So let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Nikayla here. And today I am welcoming back our entrepreneur in residence, Miko Drew, for our last check-in for 2016. But before we get into the show, I have a special announcement. And those of you who have listened to the last episode, follow me on the gram, follow me on Facebook, already know this, but I want to make sure everybody knows. I'm doing a free Instagram training today, Wednesday, December 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you've ever wondered how to use Instagram to build your business, because yes, you can build a business on the gram, then this is the training for you. I have used it to grow an active and engaged community. I've gained over 70,000 downloads on iTunes because of my Instagram following. And finally, also landed in the Black Voices in Business section on iTunes, and overall have skyrocketed from 600 to 18,000 followers, in addition to finding my true loyal fans. So I'm going to break it all down in this training today. If you want to register, it's sidehustlepro.co/getthegram. Head on over there to register. I want to share it with everyone because honestly, I think anyone can do it. It's not as hard as you think. And if you're starting a business in the year 2017, you need to be leveraging Instagram. So again, head on over to sidehustlepro.co/getthegram. Look at me tripping over my words. But anyway, you know what to do. See you guys there. So now let's get right into today's show. As many of you know, Miko Drew, aka Miko in the Dish, as I said, is our Side Hustle Pro entrepreneur in residence. That means we follow her journey for an entire year to learn the real deal of what it takes to build a profitable business from the ground up. Miko is a corporate America retiree. Yes, she walked away from a six-figure salary, y'all, and turned into a full-time food blogger. She is building a food and lifestyle empire, and I'm always amazed at the new adventure she's getting into. So it's time to check in with her to see how it's all going. So welcome back to the guest chair, Miko. Tell us, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
Yeah, so much. So I'm sure we'll talk a bit later, but I've undergone a move across the nation. And the brand is Miko in the Dish. The blog has certainly started to take off. I've expanded my line of merchandise that I offer. The whole idea in offering a shop on my blog was because I saw that there was a white space. Like, there's all these like devoted foodies and cooks and chefs, and there's not really apparel that kind of, you know, we love to wear what we do, particularly millennials, wear what we do, what we believe in, what we stand for in our apparel. And I didn't see that existing within the food space. So I decided to kind of test out a small line, and now it's expanded to over 40 products on the site. So I'm really proud of that. I also done several in-person dining events that have been successful, where I sell tickets to a private dining where I'm actually the chef. And so those have gone over super well. I've done a couple different platforms, like over brunches and dinners. And then also just continuing to work on the blog, got a really great brand sponsorships over the year, which is also a good look. So yeah, the blog continues to blossom in different areas, and it's all been a part of the beginning plan that's finally coming to fruition.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's get into each of those a little bit deeper. Let's get right into building your brand and what steps you've taken since the last check-in, which was, I think, back in August.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, walk us through the exact steps you've been taking to build on Miko in the Dish since then.
Yeah. So in building the brand specifically, like different tactics. So I've always come here and said that my philosophy of social media, particularly Instagram, which has been my primary platform, is that it's a billboard. It's an immediate identifier of who I am and who my brand is. And so I take you know, my social media platform very seriously, but I specifically take Instagram very seriously. And so what I had also talked about is kind of creating schedules and posting kind of regimen. And so I've continued with that, but I've kind of dug deeper and did some analysis on who I was and who I represented as a brand. And I think versus what you saw when you went to Instagram in August and what you see now is like two completely, I wouldn't say completely, but just a more flushed out version of Miko. And so we talked last time, I believe, about experiential marketing and about using all the different senses in order to really trigger the feeling that you want people to feel when they encounter your media, right? And so one of the things that I did a lot with my pictures but didn't do a lot with any supplemental content was use color. And I'm a very colorful person. So now when you go to the Miko and the Dish Instagram, you will see that loud and clear. I think it was pretty clear on the website, but sometimes people's first interaction with me is through Instagram. And so I wanted it to also reflect there. And so you see lots of color, lots of brightness, lots of quirkiness. I just wanted consistency or consistency of feeling across different platforms. And sometimes depending on the way the platform is laid out, you can't always achieve that. And so I've just tried to find ways to do that. So that's one thing. I would say another thing is, you know, getting from behind the computer. My best friend always gets she's like, Miko, your brand won't grow just with you sitting behind a computer. You got to get out. You got to meet people.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, you're right. I know this already, but why am I stuck glued to this thing? So I started going to conference. So I went to the Blog Her Food conference this year, and it was probably one of the better decisions that I've made. I mean, granted, I've been to some really amazing conferences coming out of school, but this particular conference was just great because of the connections that I was able to really make as a relatively new, smaller blog. Sometimes it's very hard to get in front of the brand, build those brand relationships. And the conferences I have found have been useful in doing that because they're not just looking at you as a number on a page or as an entry, but they get to see my personality. They get to see why I bring something different to the table. And from that, I built several relationships that have now resulted in sponsored paid content for my blog. So I would say that's another thing. And then I also focus on strategic partnerships, one being with Black Food Network. And so Black Food Network is a new website platform that basically really focuses on recipes inspired by the Black diaspora. And we have representation across, you know, multiple different areas. But with the development of the site, they were looking for talent to come and produce new recipes, but also create video. And so I kind of signed up as talent for that. And as a result, have really grown my audience because of videos. I think video, particularly within any blogging space, really, or any online business, is super important. People are really bombarded and weighed down with, you know, written copy. And so videos are, you know, even being prioritized by different social media platforms. So I've really made sure to try to, you know, partner with, you know, folks like Black Food Network. And even, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Our Family Dinner.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm one of the culinary experts for Our Family Dinner. So I've just looked for different groups that kind of share my audience, where I can provide expertise. They would then, you know, redistribute content, and then that would help, you know, bring traffic and followers to me.
Oh.
So yeah. So. Those are the two groups that I really kind of leaned in on this year. So I would say Black Food Network, Our Family Dinner, building out the store, and then attending conferences and really just fleshing out, you know, how, so when you just say the brand guidelines for, you know, Miko and the Dish.
Oh, cool. So you mentioned that you are doing a bit of paid sponsored posts. Can you tell us, how does that work? So you met people at
blog her food conference? Did you then like develop a media kit, or was it more organic just through conversation that that opportunity came about?
It was both ways. So, excuse me. So with some of the brands, it was very organic. It was like, hey, we met you, we really liked you, and we would love to do, we're working on this next campaign, we'd like you to be in it. They'd certainly add information from the media kit, but I don't think that was a determinant one way or the other. It was literally like, I have to check this box, we want to work with you. While others did take a more formal process and was like, hey, can you send us your media kit? You know, can you submit ideas for this campaign? So traditionally, back to your question, traditionally, it's like, you meet them, you share your contact information, I follow up with them after the conference. And if they are interested, then they'll ask you to submit your media kit. If they have a campaign, then what you typically do is you'll submit ideas. From there, they go through an approval process. So you normally submit like a couple ideas, and they'll go through an approval process, say, okay, we like this one. We'd love for you to execute it. And then from there, you start signing documents, signing your life away. And right. And then they send you loads of free product. That's what surprised me. I didn't realize how much free product people are getting actually behind the scenes. So they send you loads of free product in order to, because they want you to, you know, get the best shot or, you know, show their products in the best light. So they'll send you pretty much whatever you want. Wow. I've gotten several new pots and pans. I have so much, you know, like goods in the kitchen now. I am set. But they'll send you, you know, loads of new product. Sometimes they'll even try to, you know, exchange a product for posts. And, you know, in the very beginning, like I did that too. I'm fortunate enough to where I've gotten offered to be paid, but I think a lot of the times when you're starting off small, they'll send you product and say, hey, we have all this product, can you, you know, would you mind like doing a review on it and whatnot, and then they pay you. So if it's a paid partnership, then they pay you, and yeah, everybody's happy.
Yes. And I'm so glad you've moved, you know, directly into the payment phase, because we all know pots and pans won't pay rent.
Yeah, preach. No, they don't. We're cute, you know. They definitely get the good, you know, crisp on the fish, but they're definitely not paying the bills. No.
Okay. And with merchandise, so you probably know I had Arsha Jones of Brand Build Sell and Teasing the Trap on the show recently. So, you know, she's built a
huge
merchandise empire. I didn't realize you had you said 40 products now. Like, tell us more about that. Like, how have you been? Like, did I miss something, Nico? How have you been approaching new products?
I have my main outfit. It's definitely been soft launch. It's been soft launch. Soft launch. Yes. You haven't missed a thing. I haven't announced it yet. But basically, I've gone into hiding for like the last 2 weeks, and I've been building out products like it's nobody's business. Learning more about the e-commerce space, kind of like what you're doing. I saw that you launched your shirt. I had it on. I support that.
I've been going hard into the world of e-commerce. I love it. I think there's so much opportunity there. So that's why I'm trying to learn everything I can.
Same girl, same here. But there's a lot to learn. I probably spent a week trying to study taxes by itself.
Oh my God.
So there's a lot to learn.
The taxes, the shipping,
Shipping, then you have to go into digital marketing, adding the pixels. I'm just like, Lord, save me now. But back to your question, I'm good at getting off track. Back to your question. So I started out the Miko and the Dish shop with 5 shirts. It was basically, you know, my opportunity to test the market to see if foodie apparel was something that people were looking for. I focus on comfort food. It was, you know, Comfort Food University was the first line. And so I had my collard green shirt, my rice and beans. I try to kind of spread it out. Meat and potatoes for the Midwesters, rice and beans for like the Caribbean and Latinos. You know what I mean? Like kind of spread it out across all the comfort foods that we know and love. Those shirts were doing really, really well. But I really did only promote to my network, which is why I'm just now learning the whole Facebook, you know, the Facebook game. But those shirts did well. But the thing is, I approached it with working with a screening company, and I had to purchase all my inventory. And I had pretty long like turnaround times for the product to be like then shipped. So I've just been exploring like drop shipping services, and that's basically how I expanded the line quick, because I went with a drop shipper where all I had to do was design the product and they then print and ship, kind of like what you're doing. Yep. They print and ship. But the reason why I loved it, I like the screening because I have more control over the quality. But with drop shipping, I can then put up an array of products. I have no inventory investment, right? Like, and I can just see what products do well. Exactly. And if I want to, I can take them from the drop shipper and then find a way to make it more profitable. But it's a great way to test designs, see what people love, and then figure out ways to optimize. And so I was like, why am I not doing this? It makes so much sense. And so that's what I'm doing now.
Yes, I now I'm looking at it. Of course, I'm like, I love this mug. I saw it on your Instagram. I was like, where is this mug from? And now I see it's from your shop. I'm totally in that phase.
A little teaser.
Yes, I'm totally into the drop shipping model as well, mainly because I live in an apartment, and who will be setting up what screen printing? Not me. So,
right.
So, and yeah, like we all know how inventory is just not good for the bottom line unless you have a for sure product that people love. So I love that. I'm so glad I asked that. No idea you're expanding. So that's so cool. Alrighty. What about, can you tell us some more about the challenges you faced since we last spoke? What would have been some of your lowest moments, or one low moment, and then what would have been your highest moment?
Well, I think I was so gloomy the last time. I can't remember because I had just gone through a breakup. Yes. And I'm like, I'm just depressed. That really was probably my lowest moment.
No, you were still upbeat. You were surprisingly.
I was like, okay. Well, maybe I was like putting on for the show because, girl, I was depressed. But you know, it was fine. You know, we go, that's life, right? Like we go through those moments in life. And for me, it really just sucked up my energy. And even though I'm doing what I love, I didn't want to do, it was kind of like, it felt like work then again, because I just wanted to sit and be gloomy. So, I would say like, that was a really hard time. And then, you know, it kind of had me thinking, like, I was living in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is a great place, particularly for people who are in corporate America, because there's lots of like Fortune 500, 100 companies out there that employ some of the smartest folks in the world. But it's cold. It's cold. And I was a little bit lonely from like a family perspective. And so that's kind of why I picked up a move to Dallas. One was for a consulting and business opportunity, because what I will say is that Miko and the Dish has not only served as my blogging passion, but has served as a portfolio for me. You know, I've learned digital marketing. I've learned design, website development, social media marketing. And so all these things are one big portfolio of my blog. And now I have small businesses who reach out and pay me for, consulting services. And that's how I'm able to supplement what I do.
Interesting, because I was, as you were speaking, I was thinking about the last couple of times we spoke, you were contemplating some like jobs or like temporary arrangements.
I know,
we all have to somewhere or the other figure out how to get income to invest back into our side hustles and our business. So where are you there with the consulting? Is it like a thing that you have a regular stream of clients through X dates or on retainer?
Yes, I'm on retainer right now with a couple of clients that I work with. And then I also like have my resume out to like some creative agencies that can help hire me out for different projects, but short-term projects. I think for me, I think even in the last interview, I was talking about how like I was kind of interviewing for some jobs. And every time I would get in the interview, I would basically sabotage myself in the interview so that I couldn't get it. And that kept happening. And so I realized that when I do need money, like that's not an option, but I want to be more in control of my time. And so these smaller projects, while, you know, you kind of have to be ready to go after them. I have a clientele now to where it supplements me enough to where I'm okay. Granted, I'm not making what I was making when I was a senior buyer at Target, right? But it's enough for now. And as long as I'm continuing to see the blog grow, as long as I'm continuing to see brands interested in working with me, I will still be willing to commit to this particular model to help support the dream.
Love it. So it doesn't sound like you had anything like, you know, a low moment like last time we checked in. It seems like you have kind of hit your stride.
That was a low moment. Granted, like in my first 6 months, I think I had reached burnout already, right? Like, because I'm like, I'm working so hard around the clock. But this is because I didn't have processes in place. And so, that is the lowest. I'm certainly not living out of my car right now or have like a super dramatic story. I have leaned on friends. I mean, over the course of this time, I moved in with friends while I was in Minneapolis, right? Over the course of that time. And so like, I've definitely like, it's been kind of hopping around right now trying to figure it out, but I feel like, yeah, I've got my stride to where now things are like falling into place. So okay. Yeah.
And what's the number one way that you push through? I think the mental is the hardest part of this entrepreneurship journey, the ups and the downs. And especially when you know you can go and, you know, make an X figure salary because of your background and where you were before. So how do you resist that temptation and fight through that mental discouraging process sometimes?
I mean, I think it's really about like just having accountability partners there, because there are times I'm just like, you know what, this would be so much easier if I just went to this interview, got this job real quick, got this regular paycheck every 2 weeks. Like I have certainly gone through that. And then I go back to those accountability partners that I set up from the very beginning. When I first started this, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. I knew I would talk myself out of it, because my biggest thing growing up was I don't want to be poor when I become an adult. I went through that as a child, and it made me fight for what I wanted. It made me really strive to, you know, when it came to education, to be able to get and have the things somewhat easier, right? But at the end of the day, like, I wasn't fulfilled. And so I needed to, when I decided to leave, I consulted, you know, I would say a board, people who, you know, I even go to now, like when it's like, this crap is hard. and they're my source for encouragement. And so, and you know, oftentimes like it's just a matter of a blessing. So like I'll be down on myself, and then, you know, and I'm a believer. And so, you know, I'll be down and like, gosh, man, I should really like rethink this plan, and something will happen that will give me hope again. Like, and it's only got to be a small glimmer, but something that's going the right direction. And I take that and just use it as motivation. I think, you know, everybody kind of approaches hardships in their lives differently. Me, it's like, you chose this hardship. And so I'm like, if this was my choice, then I need to try to find the positive wherever it may be until I decide to switch up the situation.
Amen. And so what have been some of the rewards and high moments since the last time?
I think one of the biggest reward is seeing what you created like, this is like having a freaking baby. I mean, granted, I've never gone through labor, but this feels almost as hard. And so one, I get to see every day the stuff that I produce, and just anytime I put out anything, like, because I know that I'm working really hard. I'm like, that's a high for me. I think, you know, opportunity to connect with, you know, these different groups, like even their willingness to want to work with me. I mean, I'm in my first year, and many of these bloggers are 8 to 10 years in, and to know that I have generated enough to where like Our Family Dinner or Black Food Network would choose me as an expert or a culinary personality, I think is a high point for me. And then I come home for Christmas, right? Like I'm here and my niece says, you know, when I grew up, I want to be a YouTuber. Now I had to stop her and talk to her about it. But all that to say, whatever I'm doing, somebody's looking up to me. Oh. And to me, that's a high point too. Yeah, we had to have a little talk. So I'm developing videos while I'm here, and she's like by my side. I'm like, you see how hard this is? You sure you want to do this? She's like, yeah.
Oh, that is too cute. Too cute. Oh.
Right. You know, but honestly, Nikayla, if I'm being honest, it's like, I am still in the weeds. I am still figuring things out. I haven't been, I'm not on the cover of Essence, nor have I been in any article on Essence. You know what I mean? Like, so, right? Like, until that happens, I have not reached my high point. I've had some peaks now, but I'm still grinding, mm-hmm. and I'm still trying to get there, and I will make it there, but I'm still in the grind, and I'm still, you know, kind of chopping down weeds trying to get there. So, yeah.
I feel you.
More to come. Yes.
But it seems like the move from Minneapolis has had a great impact on your self-care and business practices. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Well, one, I'm around family. So my best friend lives out in Dallas, and we have this another business idea that we're working on the side. Isn't this funny how this happens? I feel like I'm always hearing stories about people who are like, okay, I took this leap, I tried this, now I'm about to do this and this and this, and I've got like 5 businesses under my belt. So I feel like that might be my path moving forward. But yeah, so one, like, and my best friend will check me. Like, she's like, Miko, like I said, Miko, get from behind that computer, like, go to a networking event, go meet people. And because I will work around the clock, because I'm kind of, that's how I was set up when I was in corporate America. And so sometimes that just comes natural. I'm just like working, and she's like, stop, you know what I mean? Stop. And so I didn't have anybody in Minneapolis who was doing that. So that's one thing. And then, you know, I think a real thing is that, like, regionally, like, I was unhappy in a very cold climate, and so getting to Dallas has definitely, like, I don't know if the vitamin D, the sun, something, it got me in a much better mood than when I was out in Minneapolis. And just getting in new environments is good for meeting people, like a start over, like a fresh start is what I was trying to say. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like revived right now from the move. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I'm around family, people who care about me, people who will check me when I need to be checked. And I'm in an environment and region that, you know, gives me more pleasure. So yeah, that's it's definitely been the right move for me. And you know, I have no complaints.
Oh, good. That reminds me of the quote, you know, you're not a tree, you can move. Like, if something doesn't make you happy anymore, like, it's like, what, why can't you just move if nothing's holding you there? So kudos and you know, good for you. Just getting up and
thank you.
Yes. So let's talk about business shifts. Now, you told us about some changes in the business since we last spoke. Are you starting to reap more income and rewards from your business? Obviously, you're doing paid posts now. How has your overall monetization strategy shifted?
Yeah, so it's definitely been to kind of really focus on garnering those paid posts. A lot of it has. So the paid posts for me, because it's like I work on a recipe and I'll get paid, I mean, a couple hundred all the way to, you know, four figures for a recipe. And so it's kind of worth it to invest in those. In my opinion, when it comes to, because I'm going to be cooking, I'm going to be developing recipes anyway when I get paid for it. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely been something that I've shifted into, but it's not like I made a choice and I could say, okay, I'm going to start focusing on paid posts. Somebody has to want to hire me for it. So that was less of a my choice and more of a thank goodness I made the right decision to go to this conference and meet these people, and now they want to work with me. And so I think a lot of it's, you know, me investing in the brand, investing in myself in order to get to these places where I can make the connections that are going to be pivotal for monetization. And then I said expanding the store. Overall goal is to provide more products to reach more customers. I think there's lots of people within the foodie space. There are chefs, there are food bloggers, there are just there are people who just love food, right? And so my goal is to try to really reach everybody where they are and have something for everyone. So that's what I've been focusing on, and that's why I'm really trying to make sure I focus on really marketing it properly so that I'm targeting the right people with the right products. Specifically with the blog, that's where it is. I've also started adding some ads since my traffic is picking up. I've added some ads to the site, but I've never been big on really weighing down my site with ads. So those are few and far between. It's like, you know, I'll have a few on there to make a little bit of money, but those move the needle at all. What's really been helping me is kind of like the projects on the side that I'm being paid to do. And then, you know, my focus really is video and the overall objective for video, because I feel like there's so much prioritization of video now, is that, you know, those will help also garner brand sponsorships, but opportunities on, you know, larger platforms like television.
This is the perfect time to segue into looking forward to 2017. So what is your vision for Miko and the Dish, including new income streams, new ideas for 2017?
Yeah, so video is probably the biggest thing for me. My major focus will be moving in to, or really trying to focus on PR. I want to get on television more. I did a lot of it when I was in San Diego working on my previous blog, Cooking with Miko. So I'm going to be focused really heavily on television spots and make it to, you know, have segments on the news. So that'll be one thing. One of my goals is to write a cookbook. I think a lot of some people write cookbooks too soon. Mm-hmm. And so I have content to where I could write a cookbook now, but I want to really study. So 2017, I will be focused on really studying cookbooks themselves to really understand like what makes a really good one, mm-hmm. so that I can then in turn use the research in order to create my own in 2018. So there'll be probably a lot of content around exploring other cookbooks, looking at recipes from other cookbooks or how other cookbooks are laid out in order to start creating that too. And then other thing is I really want to focus on more live video. So whether if it be Periscope, Nom.com, YouTube, Facebook, I'm not sure which platform, but I really want to have a regular live segment to bring people in. So it really is around media, I think, more than anything for 2017.
Okay. I can see you on TV. I mean, why? Oprah, where is Oprah? Like, you need to be on the OWN channel. I can see it. And I love that you're thinking about live video.
You can see it. Right. I can see it.
Listen. If it doesn't exist yet, you start your own show on Facebook like you're already planning. And if you build it, they will come. Yeah. So we've been talking to you now for about 6 months, and I've already seen your vision evolve so much. Like, could you summarize it for the new listeners, like how your vision for your business has evolved since you first started it?
Yeah. So when I first started the blog, honestly, sometimes I don't even know where I started, because I feel like I had these ideas and they continue to evolve. I think one thing that is important is to start off with a strategy. And my overall strategy was I wanted to create a blog. I wanted it to focus on millennial business women, essentially, like with short periods of time, but who still, when they did have the opportunity, wanted to do something that was a tidbit fancy, right? Like, or a tidbit more involved. And then as I kind of learned my audience, talked to my audience, I also found out that, you know, most of the time that is not the case. Most of the time they are not doing anything fancy, and those times only come out during, you know, the holidays. So I've been really like evolving even the type of content that I put out since, you know, kind of learning and being able to talk to people. And it was more of a focus on like written content, and now it has shifted to video content, because my biggest engaged like posts are when there is a video and there's some trap music behind it, right? Like, I just feel like really being deliberate about video, really being deliberate about, you know, using elements that really reach your audience have helped me kind of stand out amongst the crowd. But yeah, it started off as like, I want to put up this blog. I really want to get to where like I'll get some paid sponsorships, to now like, you know, I have a blog. It's more than just food. It's lifestyle. And you know, I'm also selling products, right? And doing video that engages people. So it's definitely kind of gone around the corner and back, but it's all been because I'm listening to what people want, I think.
And have you hired any help yet? Do you plan to in 2017?
Yeah, so I definitely have someone who helps me, like an intern who helps me with posting. And granted, like I kind of got this from you, because you were post, like there was a minute where you were just posting around. I'm like, how did she do that? What in the world? Nikayla, did you sleep? And but I saw how much you were growing, and I was like, there's something to this posting around this spot. And I was watching you, and I was like, dang, Nikayla, she's got something going on. And so I've created a schedule to where like I use all of the social media tools to kind of constantly be putting out content. Granted, like I have different schedules for different platforms, but yeah, something's always posted now, and I've definitely seen some positive impact, and I'm, you know, iterating along the way. But yeah, I definitely feel like it's been the right
nice. Approach. How'd you find your intern?
Family. I reached out to family. I reached out to family. So I have someone working on it who I can give my accounts and codes to, but that's not always the case, right? Like I'm also probably in the new year, since I want to do more video, going to be looking for an intern out of the college. And so I've been working on a job description for a student videographer to help with that for the new year. But that's just like, I think that's one option, particularly when you have low resources, is really like leveraging the universities and students' needs for credits. Like if your business is set up appropriately, you should still be able to reach out, as long as you have like a clear description and of what's needed and a plan of attack. I have several friends who kind of approach it, who's also entrepreneurs that way. So that's my 2017 is to add even another person to the team. But the current person who I have is a family member who has a little free time.
Okay. And speaking of operations and, you know, managing all the different things going on, all the moving parts, what other tools are you using these days to keep you organized and keep your business moving?
So one of the biggest is Buffer. I use Buffer to pre-schedule all of my communication across my social platforms. I don't use Buffer for Instagram. I'm still mostly manual with Instagram, just because I'm really specific about how my pictures post and attaching strategic hashtags with them. So I'm still very involved with Instagram, but for everything else, it's pretty much automated. I am a big believer in Google Docs. So I use Google Docs a lot. It helps me organize. It helps me set up my job descriptions and even my schedules for my intern that I have working with me. I still use MailChimp for my email distribution of my newsletter, and it's kind of a partnership between MailChimp and YouTube since I do some video newsletters. But yeah, I would say those are probably the big guys that I'm using right now.
Okay. And before we wrap today's check-in, I just want to remind listeners, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Plug, MikoandTheDish.com. That's M as in Mary, E-I-K-O, and TheDish.com. You can check me out there. That's my blog. And I'm pretty much everywhere else. You can do the same name, Miko on the Dish, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on Tumblr. I'm everywhere. So, yeah. Oh, Periscope.
Yes.
Miko on the Dish.
Everywhere. So where are you going to live stream, on Facebook or Periscope for the 2017?
Yeah, so I really like Periscope much better than Facebook, but Facebook is where the people are. You got to go to where the people are. So I'll probably be live streaming on Facebook, or unless I can do both. But I mean, actually, Periscope has been acting up a little bit. So probably Facebook. Facebook is where I'll be regardless. Periscope would be an addition to, if I have the resources to kind of make two screens happen, but Facebook is where I'll be because that's where the people are.
Oh yeah. All right. So guys, this was our last check-in with Miko for 2016, but this is not the last you'll hear from Miko. We're following her for an entire year. So stay tuned for 2017 to see what 12 months of Miko in the Dish reveals. I can't wait. And there you have it. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you want to hear more from me, head on over to sidehustlepro.co/sidehustlecorner to get my weekly Side Hustle Diaries chronicles about my own journey from passion project to profitable business. And if you want to find me online, I'm at Side Hustle Pro on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Don't forget to join the Side Hustle Pro Facebook community. Go to sidehustlepro.co/mastermind. And as always, if you love the show, do me a favor and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.